she was told to be here this morning. So actually, Carrie and Kelsey, you want to come on up? Because she was supposed to be here for this, and she was, no. Yeah. You know, it's that whole graduation and have to hit every party, and it's just like, yeah. Oh, well. So we've got Kelsey and Carrie Jones here as part of the Senders mission team that's going to Zambia. And so we want to pray for them this morning. My daughter Olivia is going, and there's how many total? 11 total, mostly girls.
10 are girls.
So
10 are female.
So God bless that guy. So if you could pray with me as we pray for them. Father, I just lift up this team as they go to Africa to serve you. And Father, I know it is going to be an awesome experience that they will see you differently than probably they ever have. And Father, I pray that as they're there, that you will just use them to minister to the people there, to the other missionaries there, and Father, to each other. And I pray that you'd protect them health-wise, that you'd protect their spirit. Father, that they would be listening to you every day. And as those, they kind of start rubbing on each other, maybe as they go through some time there, that just help them to see the big picture of why they're there and what they're doing, and just have that humble, submissive attitude to you and to one another. And so, Father, we thank you for them making this commitment. And, Father, we pray that you would just do great and mighty things through them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Sure. So this was one of those interesting weeks. So as I was thinking about our daughter Olivia, our last one is graduated from high school this week. And man, that's been a long time coming. So, you know, just thinking about not only graduation, but, you know, the missions team going out, and just really felt like I needed to scrap my message for today and go in a little bit different direction. Plus, we have communion today. And so I was like, well, okay, God, we'll try this. And just really felt like this was kind of the direction that probably needed to go this morning. And so I'm going to be talking about plans. And this really applies to all of us, because all of us have some kind of plans that we're aiming to do something, we're wanting to do something. You know, even just in our everyday life, there's a plan for the day. You know, I have to do this, I have to do this. You know, some of us have really nice lists, and sometimes I'll add to my list just so I can cross it out because I did something that was on the list. You know, there's something about that, crossing something off on your list, you know, it's, yeah, even though I added it so I could cross it off. So, you know, as the, not only do we have, you know, seniors graduating from high school, but also college, and, you know, they're looking at what are those next steps, where are they going, and most of them probably already have a plan at this point. But just thinking about, so how do we come up with our plan? You know, what do we do? Who do we look for counsel and wisdom? Proverbs 15:22 says, without consultation, plans are frustrated. But with many counselors, they succeed or they are established. The thing is that we need to remember in that, though, is who our counselors are. You know, who are those people that we go to and seek out counsel? You know, in our flesh, we want to go seek out those that we already know what they're going to tell us, and they're going to tell us what we already want to hear, right? instead of going to those who tell us what we need to hear, those who have godly wisdom, those people who we look at and say, you know, that's a godly person and they're submissive and obedient to God, and I want to get their counsel. You know, as high school graduates go out many times, I think there's that hesitancy to listen to their parents because they're thinking, oh, what do my parents know? The thing is we as parents have a lot of experience under our belts, and we've seen a lot of things in this world. And of course, for us, we've had seven others prior to our last graduate, and looking at how things work and how they don't work, and, you know, what is real life like? You know, I think that's probably the biggest thing for most high school graduates is they're really going out more into the real world now. You know, even though they go to college, a lot of times they go off to college and things change. It's different. It's not like high school. If I'd have known in high school what I know now, I would have enjoyed it a lot more, knowing that next stage is going to be a lot more difficult. And then we need to look to God. You know, what does He want us to do? How does He want us to plan out our life? James 1:5 says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." And what I found interesting here was later in James, it defines wisdom. It defines wisdom. In James 3:17, it says, "But wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy." It's defining what true wisdom is. And that's what we need to seek out. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Even those who don't follow God, the Lord still directs our steps. Sometimes it's with the Board of Education, God trying to get our attention to help us to go the direction that we need to go. And then I think about the missions team as they're going out. And it is going to be an amazing experience for them. You know, they're going to see things and hear things and do things that they probably didn't even realize they were going to do or were even capable of doing, because God will go before them if they will keep their hearts humble and they will submit and be obedient to Him. It'll be amazing what God does. And not only will the people be blessed because they are there, they are going to receive blessing beyond what they can imagine. Having been part of a short-term mission team a couple times, it's amazing what happens when you're literally immersed in serving God 24/7. That's all you're thinking about is serving God. You know, when we went, we didn't have to worry about where we were going to sleep. We didn't have to worry about what we were going to eat. Nothing. All we had to do was show up and serve God. The interesting thing many times, though, is the plans that we have sometimes get frustrated. Because when you're in a different culture, they operate way differently than we do. In fact, most cultures operate way differently than we do. You know, I know especially in Mexico time is different than time here. It's crazy when they tell you they're going to be there to pick you up at a certain time, and 2 hours later they show up, and it's like, well, that's no big deal. It's just the way it works. So, but God uses that. He uses that to refine us and help us to become more like Him. If we're open to God's plan and if we're open to being led by the Holy Spirit, things will work out. Things will work out. You have to remember Romans, when Paul says that all things will work together for good for those who are called by God and called according to his purpose. It will work out. And all of us in our everyday life, there are things that we need to plan, and we need to depend on God. We need to depend on God. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, engage in business and make a profit. Yet you don't know what your life is going to be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this and do that. It doesn't say to not make plans. But what it does say is make sure that God's in those plans and that God may change those plans along the way. You know, just like yesterday, God says, well, you had this plan, but here's the direction I want you to go. And I have to say, this is really probably the first time this has really ever happened, where on a Saturday, God says, oh, by the way, we're going to go a little bit different direction tomorrow. It's like, well, okay, here we go. Jeremiah 29:11. Probably very familiar with this, some of you. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now, I want to preface that verse a little bit, though. He's talking to Israel, and there's specifically something going on, but this is God's character. This is God's character. But if you'll notice in Scripture, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, a lot of times what God says is there is a qualifier. There's not a qualifier for his love, because God loves us no matter what. But there's a qualifier for how our life goes, and that is obedience. If we're not obedient to God, many times our plans go awry because they weren't his plans in the first place. And of course, looking at the Old Testament, you see that over and over and over, where Israel wasn't obedient. God says, this is what I want to do with you. This is what I want to do for you if you'll be obedient and be submissive and follow my commands and my statutes. But as Israel went off their own way, it didn't go so well for them. And God would continue to try to pull them back and pull them back. And it's the same with us. If we choose not to be obedient, if we choose not to submit, we can say, well, but God, you promised. And God can say to us, well, but you promised that we need to be obedient. A wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. That's not always easy to do, is to figure out where the wise counsel is. What we should be looking for is that man or that woman that we see following God. And those are the ones that we want to talk to. We want to talk to those who maybe their life hasn't gone all that well. You know, that they've struggled, to be able to go to them and say, well, how did that work? How did you work through that? You know, our tendency is to go, well, I want to go talk to someone who was super successful and find out how they did it. Well, sometimes, for some people, it just happens. It's just kind of the way the steps went. But I think many times it's much more productive to go talk to that person who's gone through a lot of hard stuff. Because they can tell you with uncertainty how God directed every single one of their steps. The plans that God has for us, plans for our welfare, for our good, not for calamity, that's what He wants to do if we'll be obedient to Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I noticed when we opened up the back there and people were putting verses, that verse shows up a lot. It's my favorite verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your understanding. Get into God's Word. Look and see what God says and who He is and the kind of character He has and what He wants for us. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. All of them, every single aspect of your life, you need to acknowledge God. And then it says, He will make your paths straight. Sometimes it's straight uphill. Sometimes it's straight downhill. Sometimes it's on level ground. But He will make our paths straight. He will help us to know what direction we're supposed to go and what we're supposed to do if we will seek out His wisdom and His direction. So some of my thinking in changing some of this today was the amount of time we had. We've got a boatload of time now. So hey, maybe I'll go to the next. Oh no, never mind. You know, it's just one of those mornings where, you know, we have a lot of little things going on and just wasn't sure how time was going to happen. And I guess I could just keep babbling on for a while, but I can always fill in something. But, you know, I just really, really felt like this morning God really was just directing this whole idea of, you know, how we plan and who do we look for wisdom and counsel and how do we get to where we're going. You know, it's so many times, you know, you hear people say, well, I just don't know what God wants me to do. And I wonder, well, how well do you know God's Word? You know, because there's a lot of stuff in God's Word that tells us what to do and how to live our lives. And no, it doesn't give us specifics like, well, I want you to do this the rest of your life, and I want you to go to college for this, and oh yeah, I want you to do that. But it gives us that foundation. It gives us that groundwork to say, if you will follow God, if you'll be obedient and submissive to Him, He will direct your path. He will guide you along. And when we start heading off in the wrong direction, if we know God's Word, it'll pull us back. Because we realize that we're going in a wrong direction. You know, that definition of wisdom. It's pure. It's peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And if you just take those things and base your life on that, you're going to go in the right direction. You're going to do what God wants you to do. You're going to have a life that is reflective of Him. Because that's really what He wants. He wants us to have a life reflective of Him. In Genesis, it says that He created man in His image. Now, that doesn't mean that we all look like God, because obviously we all look different. But there's this something within us that God has created His image within us. And He wants us to then reflect Him. And then as He sent His Son to be an even further example of how we're to live and who we're to be and what we're to be like. The Gospels are full of pictures of who Jesus is and how he lived his life and the steps that he took. He knew the plan, and he followed it to the letter. And he also communicated with his heavenly Father all the time. Jesus, who was God, but he was also man, was in contact with his heavenly Father all the time, making sure he was staying on track, looking for what he needed to build him up and encourage him. So next week we will continue on in Mark. So you get a preview. There's, you know, notes in your, although they're not filled in, but you get a little preview of. So looking ahead, and we'll continue on in Mark, but just really felt like this idea of, you know, our plans and just kind of what was going on today just seemed, felt like God said, you know, I want you to go this little bit different direction. So hopefully there was some useful stuff there in there. We're going to celebrate communion here this morning also. But before we do that, I want to do some announcements because, I don't know, it just never feels right doing announcements after communion. So let's look at some announcements here. So next Sunday, John and Dee Deakle are going to be here. They had been, they're retired missionaries with Child Evangelism Fellowship. They had the great ordeal of having to serve in Hawaii, but they're making up for that now because now they live in Tennessee. So, but anyway, they're going to be here next Sunday. John is going to bring the message. They're going to kind of just fill us in on what they've been doing, and then also next Sunday we're going to have a potluck afterwards. There's information in there on what to bring. Summer camp is coming. It says that the deadline is, it said it was June 7th. We fudged on that a little bit. It's actually now June 12th. There's an H after the 12, right? So it's on June 12th because I'm the registrar. So, you know, you can get them in a little later. And then if you're wanting to help out with camp scholarships, we'd appreciate that. We were able to send several kids to camp last year, and so you can still send in money for that also. And I think that's it for announcements. So, like I said, this morning we're going to be celebrating communion, and you know, Paul, as he was talking there with the Corinthians, As Jesus had taught him, that reflecting back on what Jesus had done, you know, and I think maybe there's some of that happens, you know, when we graduate high school, we reflect back a little bit on, you know, the past, you know, as we're sitting there during graduation and watching the pictures, you know, the little kids, and then they show the big kids. And some of them are like, oh, wow, they haven't changed at all. They look exactly the same. And some of them are like, is that the same kid? But, you know, probably for parents, probably more than the kids, we reflect back on all those years, lots of years. For us, it was lots of years. Lots of years. So, and it's really, it's a big transition. And so, you know, Paul talking to the Corinthians, you know, telling them that, you know, we're remembering Jesus, remembering what he did when he was here on this earth. What did he do? You know, that he shed his blood for us, that he literally died on that cross for us because he loved us that much. You know, and there's things that we as parents have done to sacrifice for our kids because we love them so much. But nothing compares to what Jesus did. The physical, emotional, spiritual torment that he would have gone through hanging on that cross for us. And it doesn't matter what kind of sin is in your life, he died for all of it. Sin is sin. There isn't one sin that's any worse than another sin, even though from a human perspective, we might think that. But sin separates us from God. And so when Jesus said, here's my blood, here's my body, remember what I did for you. So if I can have whoever we have here today, so George is here, oh, Karsten. Oh, and Aylor will help us this morning too. We've got a short crew on the elders this morning too. Guys that are sick and we're sick. Karsten, don't cough on the elements, okay? So as we participate in communion here this morning, we want to remember Jesus. And to also look at our own lives and how are we being obedient? Are we following him the way that we should? Are we, you know, being submissive, humbly submissive to the Savior? Are we following God's plan? Let's pray. Father, as we celebrate here this morning what you did for us, thank you so much. And help us to really reflect on that you did do a lot for us, that we probably will never comprehend. I think even when we're in your presence, we still won't totally comprehend what you went through for us because you loved us. Father God, thank you for sending your son, for your willingness to make that sacrifice because, again, you loved us. And so as we take the bread and take the cup this morning, and remember the body and the blood of Jesus, the body that he sacrificed for us, the blood that he shed to cover our sin. Help us to reflect on our life and to make sure that we're walking in humble, obedient submission to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we take the bread this morning, that representation of Jesus' body that he gave for us, that he physically did that. He physically suffered the beatings and the abuse because he loved us. So take, eat in remembrance of Jesus. And the cup represents Jesus' blood that he shed for us, the blood that was required by a holy God to cover sin. And so that blood that Jesus shed, the perfect lamb, covered our sin. All we have to do is accept that sacrifice. So take, drink in remembrance of Jesus. If you want to pass your cups to the middle, the guys will pick them up on their way by. So thank you all for coming and worshiping this morning. Just God's blessings on you. And remember the Zambia team as they're leaving next Sunday, right? Next Sunday for Zambia. So long flight, long time over there. God's going to be amazing, do some amazing work. So God bless you all. Have a great week.